Hi, I'm a dramatically placed stained glass window in a suburban home, Taylor.
And I'm every line of cocaine that James Wan snorted between takes of this movie, Jemmy. And this is the Final Girl Files. This week we... I hesitate to use the word watched. This week we experienced.
Yeah, we enjoyed.
We experienced 2021's Malignant, directed by James Wan, starring Annabelle Wallace, Maddie Hassan, George Young, and Michelle Brianna White.
Listeners, I want you to look me in the eyes right now. Are you looking? Can you see me? I know that frequently on this podcast, to the point where it's almost a running gag, we say that things are the movie ever. Malignant 2021 is the movie ever.
Listeners, I need you to look at me.
Now look over at Jemmy.
Now look at me. We frequently encourage our listeners to watch the movie before they listen to our episode so they're not spoiled. I cannot emphasize this enough. If you have not seen Malignant, do not listen to this episode. Do not. Don't watch a trailer. Don't pass go. Just listen. Literally go right now. Acquire it somehow. Press play. Nothing else. Although, however, if you are, there are just a few trigger warnings I wanted to throw out there.
I would probably give a list of trigger warnings first.
Just in case. Body horror.
Yep.
Big body horror trigger, and one for infertility and miscarriage.
Also domestic violence.
Yes, and domestic violence.
If you can handle those things,
don't listen to this episode. Stop right now. I'm ordering you to stop right now and go watch Malignant. And then come back and listen to us talk about it, because we will be giving spoilers. And this, listen, I'm usually fine with spoilers. Like, I spoil Taylor on movies all the time because she doesn't care about it.
I don't give a shit. Like it's, I am the type of person for whom, like, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Spoilers, like, do not ruin a movie for me. I've gone into movies with huge twists where I've known every single thing that happens and I still loved it and I still had a great time. Like, it doesn't fuck with me at all. I love spoilers. I will often go watch a movie because I read the Wikipedia summary and I was like, this sounds good.
Spoilers will ruin the experience of this movie for you.
Yes, it will.
Okay, so we're trusting you, listeners, to go watch it before you listen to us talk about it.
Are you back? It was crazy, right? That was bonkers, right?
Okay. So Taylor, I know this was your first time watching this movie.
Sure was.
And I know this because you called me in the middle of the movie just to scream about it.
Sure did.
I saw this movie in theaters.
Watching this movie, the entire time, especially the ending, I was just thinking to myself, God, I would sell my fucking soul to have seen this in a crowded theater.
Unfortunately, the theater we went to wasn't crowded because, like, it was just around the time when it was a little bit safer to go to movie theaters, so not a lot of people were going. And I also think that Jace and I went to either, like, a matinee or a, like, late night showing on a weekday. So there wasn't a lot of crowds. Also, I had gone... Jace had seen it before, so I think this is his revenge for me taking him to see Crimson Peak after I'd already seen it.
Oh my god.
And yeah, I had a fucking religious experience watching this in a movie theater.
I'm gonna be honest, I had a religious experience watching this in my house, on my television.
One of my core memories of seeing this in theaters has actually nothing to do with the movie, but we went and we thought we were gonna be alone in the movie theater. So we're sitting there for the trailers. And we got an Eternals trailer.
Oh.
So, of course, being alone in a movie theater and assuming, because we'd been sitting there for like good 10-15 minutes and no one had walked in. So I was, you know, I started jokingly hollering at the screen, like, where's my wife? Show me my wife. Like, very loudly, because I thought we were alone. And of course, you know, as the trailer goes on, a fucking couple walks in.
Who definitely
heard me yelling. And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. I can't make eye contact with you people.
They experienced your truest self, though.
They did. Those strangers. We were like ships passing in the night.
Yeah, they experienced the most authentic form of Jemmy, which is just screaming about Wanda Maximoff.
It's true. Screaming about my blorbos. Anyway, Yeah, so that was my experience with this movie.
I sat down last night and said to myself, I'm going to watch Malignant. My sister was not home. I was alone in my house. I was like, my parents were on vacation. I was like, fuck, like, this is the ideal time. I'm going to fucking watch Malignant. It's going to be great. And I I'm like trying to articulate. Oh God, I can't even like put it into words.
It's difficult.
It is difficult. I knew nothing about this movie going in. I cannot emphasize how little I knew about this movie going in.
That's why I was like, Taylor, I cannot in good consciousness spoil this movie for you. And I need you to not watch a trailer. I need you to not keep it that way. Keep yourself unspoiled for this movie.
I was so shaken up that I immediately pulled my phone out and I called Jemmy. During that batshit finale, Jemmy, I want you to now narrate the experience of what I sounded like over the phone.
Okay, so last night.
Because I just feel like it would be funnier coming from you.
Last night, I'll narrate my whole experience with you watching Malignant.
Oh, I would love to hear this whole thing from your perspective, because I was texting the entire time.
Last night, I went out to dinner with my two brothers, who I love. Because Jamie's in town, and we wanted to just, like, you know, go out and have dinner together. So I'm sitting in a fucking Applebee's.
We're having a wholesome sibling experience.
I was having a wholesome sibling experience. I'm sitting there in a fucking Applebee's, sipping my dragon fruit lemonade. And all of a sudden, like, Taylor texts me. She's like, I'm watching Malignant. And I'm like, okay, cool. Keep me updated. And, like,
I did proceed to do that, exactly that.
Yes. And, like, it was, like, the beginning of the movie, and she's already, like, this is insane, this is batshit, what is going on? And I was, like, Taylor, just wait. Just wait, Taylor. So, like, we finish up dinner, we come home, and I'm, like, sitting at my computer, writing something. I get a message that someone is calling me on Discord. No, actually, first off, I get you being like, hey, Jemmy, what the fuck? And I was, like, laughing, because I'm like, haha, she hit the twist. And I informed Jace and Jamie of this, because I had told them while we were having dinner, like, oh, guys, Taylor's watching Malignant, she's never seen it before. And they were both like, oh, you need to tell us what happened.
I love that both of your brothers were getting live updates about me watching Malignant.
I did, like, screenshot your messages that said, hey, Jemmy, what the fuck, and sent them to Jace with the We Got Him video.
Good.
So, I'm laughing to myself, and then Taylor calls me, and I'm like, I don't have my mic, like, set up, because I need to have my mic set up to use Discord. My computer microphone is a piece of garbage. And she's like, I don't care, please just pick up. And I did. And all I hear is Taylor, like, scream laughing on the other end of the call. Because I'm, like, struggling to get my mic set up so I can talk to her. Because, of course, I want to be there to talk her through this experience.
You need to calm me down.
She's, like, losing her mind. And I can kind of, like, faintly hear the movie in the background. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is... the scene ever, the sequence ever.
I was just like, she needs to hear this in real time. And I just,
I'm
like,
so glad.
It was like I didn't even have control over my muscles. My hand just went to the call button.
It was very much the same vibe as when I came out of Annabelle Comes Home and called you and was like, I need to scream about my parents.
Yeah.
So should we, like, get into the plot of this movie? Or I'm gonna read a little synopsis for you.
Yeah, but, like, okay. None of the synopsis anywhere.
No.
Does this movie justice? So we will have to add on to the end of the, like,
I do have
approved like Google whatever, like the little like the little blurb that comes up.
It's fine. I have a supplementary Tumblr post. So
oh, good.
All right. So ostensibly, Malignant follows Madison Mitchell, who is suffering from bizarre, terrifying visions of brutal murders. In order to stop the killer and save herself, Madison must reckon with her own troubled past. And I'm going to supplement this synopsis with a Tumblr post from Tumblr user enemies-2-lovers, which reads as follows. I am losing my mind. Everyone go watch Malignant right now. Do not pass go. Do not watch the trailer. Do not Google the plot. Just open up HBO Max and press play. It is the best movie ever made. It is the worst movie ever made. It should win a Razzie. It should win an Oscar. The antagonist is the new Tumblr sexy man. The script was written by me personally after I took every drug I could get my hands on. How has no one made this movie before? How could anyone make this movie ever again?
That's about it.
That's it. So on a real one.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about this movie.
Okay.
Is that in making it, you get the sense that James Wan knows that you think you know what movie you're watching.
I thought I knew what movie I was watching.
This movie is so deliberately set up like a classic James Wan supernatural horror movie. It is Insidious. It is The Conjuring. It is Dead Silence. Like, it is, for the first maybe hour or so, a very by-the-numbers, you know what movie you're watching. You're watching a James Wan supernatural horror movie.
It's very funny to me because, like, I was watching it and I was thinking to myself, like, this seems pretty, like, it's kind of strange. Like, the visual design is kind of strange and, like, the direction that it's going with, like, the plot is kind of bizarre. But, like, it still feels pretty normal.
Right. Like, it feels... Like,
this is kind of weird for James Wan, but it's still following, like you said, the James Wan formula.
The house that the main character lives in has to be, like, the most James Wan house I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
This looks like the house from Insidious had sweet, sweet, passionate... made sweet, sweet, passionate love to the house from The Conjuring. Like, you have seen this house before, if you've watched James Wan movies. And I think that really helps to build towards the moment where this movie goes off the fucking rails.
Yep.
And I think that's why it so effectively goes off the fucking rails.
You've all seen the movie by now. You wouldn't be listening to this if you hadn't. Let's have a chat about Gabriel, shall
we? Let's have a chat about Gabriel!
Listeners, I'm like putting my arms around your shoulders like football huddle style.
We're having a talk about
Gabriel. We're having a chat. We're having a talk about Gabriel.
Fuck. Get the stone!
I love him so much. He is the best.
Oh my god. I remember getting the message from you. You were like, oh, I hate the way this guy moves. I hate that he's backwards. And I'm like, I'm trying not to say anything. Because, listeners, you know this, but we should probably just state it out loud to get it off the record. This man is on the back of his sister's head.
Yes, he is. And so, I the entire time was thinking to myself, like, oh, that's such a cool, creepy concept for a monster.
Every time you said to me before you watched this movie, you were like, oh, it's about an imaginary friend. I was like, well.
Well, for the record, I had seen the trailer, and the trailer has that little bit where it's queen of acting, queen of being booked and busy McKenna Grace, who is in this movie.
I didn't realize it was her until I watched it. Because I'd only seen it when it was in theaters. And during those scenes, I was a little distracted by the everything of this movie.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize it was McKenna Grace until I watched it this time. It was like, okay. Also, another Conjuring alumni. There are several Conjuring alumni in this movie. Annabelle Wallace is actually in the first Annabelle, which is a bad movie. And the little girl who plays the mother of Emily and Gabriel is Madison Wolf, aka Janet Hodgson from The Conjuring 2.
God.
So, there's a lot of Conjuring people in this movie. Which,
okay,
I think...
Like, okay, so, like, I had seen the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I had seen the bit with Miss Booked and Busy, like, in front of the VHS camera, saying, like, oh, like, he talks to me, like, he's my imaginary friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is, like, what I thought this movie was. What I naively assumed it would be. Was, like a my imaginary friend comes to life and kills people.
Right.
That's what I assumed it would be.
I think that's what a lot of people assumed it would be from the trailers.
And I said, okay. Like, it's going to be kind of weird, but it's going to be that. I was not prepared at all for what happened. She reached around the back of her head. And I was like, no. I was like, it cannot be so.
And Taylor, beloved, it was.
It was! This fucking thing is living on the back of her head!
Fuck, dude, it sure, he sure is.
He sure fucking is, man. Dude.
Oh.
Okay, the other thing is that I was sort of thinking to myself, other than having him be the first kill of the movie, the whole thing with the husband, boyfriend?
Yeah, the husband. They're married, I think.
That feels like it was dropped fairly quickly and didn't have much plot consequence.
Well!
And then, turns out, he's the reason all this shit is happening in the first place!
God.
I was like, oh, I should have trusted that the writers of this movie would not do that, but I was like, that's kind of weird that
you should have trusted James.
They like there's this whole thing at the beginning about this abusive husband, and it's never brought back up again. Like, all the stuff at the beginning, to me, I was like, wow, that feels like it kind of came out of nowhere and is mm-hmm. never touched on again.
And then
it all comes back at the end, and I was like, fuck, like, it's so good. This movie is so good.
It's so good.
This movie is so good. It's also terrible.
Oh, it's... See, the thing is...
I feel like I need to state this for the record. The dialogue is so awful.
Okay, but like...
But it's clearly on purpose.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why... Because you were telling me last night you were looking up reviews, I assume, for Live, Laugh, Letterboxd at the mm-hmm. end of our beautiful program here.
Correct.
And there are so many people who don't seem to realize, first off, like, this is James Wan doing Giallo. Since fucking when has Giallo ever had good dialogue?
We spoke about this in our Red Queen episode and our Suspiria episode. Nobody in a Giallo movie talks like a human being ever. And anyone who watched this movie and said to themselves, like, the dialogue is bad because this is a bad movie. I've said this about other things on my Twitter, so, like, I'm using phrasing that I've used when talking about other pieces of media, but, like, you don't need to be the type of person for whom thing is bad on purpose and corny on purpose does anything for you. Like I fully respect if you're the kind of person for whom, like, oh, well, thing being kind of corny on purpose, like, that's just not for me. I don't like it. And that's valid of you. But, like, if you're watching Malignant and you're saying to yourself, like, wow, these writers sure don't know how to write dialogue.
Like, it's on purpose. This is a feature, not a bug. Like,
it's on purpose and you're wrong. Also, like, these are the same people who probably pretend that Suspiria has great dialogue. So, like,
right, like, come on, guys. Come on, guys.
They're like, the craziest thing to me are people who know that it's a giallo thing and still don't seem to understand that the weird shit in it is on purpose.
It's like, deliberate. Again, that's like, what giallo is.
I saw so many Letterboxd reviews of people being like, the script is terrible and the dialogue's, like, I know I'm carping on the dialogue, but, like, the dialogue is, like, the biggest thing for me that screams giallo.
And, like, presumably these people have seen, like, other James Wan movies. Like, they know this man. Yeah, did James Wan write this? Hang on. I don't know if James Wan wrote this, but No, he wrote this. He helped to write this. He wrote this with Ingrid Bisou and Akila Cooper. So, like, you guys know James Wan can write dialogue just fine. Like, I guess the dialogue in Insidious and The Conjuring is nothing to write home about, but it's dialogue. Like, it's the characters sound like human beings.
He's competent clearly, dialogue.
He's clearly doing this thing in Malignant on purpose. Straight people really don't understand high camp.
I would like to state, in addition to the dialogue, one of the other things to me that tipped me off instantly, I was like, oh, this is like weird and crazy and campy on purpose, is like the insane music stings.
Oh my god, yeah. The soundtrack of this movie is fantastic.
It is so like, it's so goblin to me.
It's so goblin. It's so giallo. It's so good. And it is a cover of Where Is My Mind, which is
amazing.
Amazing. Fantastic. Wonderful. I'm so sad that I never got my hands on the vinyl copy of this.
But like a character will say something like he was here the whole time, and then the music will be like, da-na-na!
Like, I'm sorry. You have that whole opening sequence where Miss Doctor Lady looks at the camera and is like, it's time to cut out the cancer. And like, you think that's not on purpose? You think that's...
People were like, damn, this dialogue sucks.
Like, you think that's not on purpose? You think this isn't a purposeful choice to be weird and campy? Like...
And again, I feel the need to emphasize, if your takeaway from this movie is... You shouldn't be writing weird, bad dialogue on purpose. I respect your take. You're not who I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, like, if this is, like, just genuinely not your thing, that's fine. That is 100% fine. It's not gonna be everyone's thing. But, like, you do have to acknowledge that this is a thing that is being done purposefully. And criticizing it is kind of weird.
Criticizing it from the perspective of, like, man, this sucks.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it does.
That's what it's supposed to. The movie is doing its job.
It reminds me of when, like every like 2 or 3 months, like a some dialogue from Riverdale will like get passed around Twitter, and people will be like, "Oh, the show is awful," and it's like, you guys.
Hey Taylor,
I don't even watch Riverdale, and I know it's like this on purpose.
Would you call Malignant the Riverdale-ification of James Wan movies?
100% yes.
Me too, same.
Without question, 100% absolutely. Yes. It is the Riverdale-ification of James Wan movies. Riverdale-ification, parentheses, positive, as opposed to Texas Chainsaw 2022, which is Riverdale-ification derogatory.
It's true. This is a very, it's an important distinction.
Sorry to those who enjoyed Texas Chainsaw 2022.
You're valid, we just don't agree with
you're
you.
You're valid, but yeah. fuck. I'm like, I don't even know what to say next. Okay, we need to talk about Gabriel again.
We always need to talk about Gabriel. I think we should talk about Gabriel every podcast episode.
I agree. I hate the way he moves.
Oh, it's so bad.
Can I just say? They were like, oh, the fingerprints at the crime scene are backwards. I was like, ew.
Fascinating that this isn't Javier Botet.
So fucking true, bestie. Javier Botet would have killed this part.
I mean, the actor, or is it actress? I can't remember if it's a... Because I did see an actress credited for Gabriel, so it might have been... Oh yeah, I mean, it would have had to been, because it's fucking Madison's body. It's not actually Annabelle Wallace, but you know what I mean. Does a fantastic job. Like, this Gabriel moves so bad.
Oh, phenomenal.
It's so bad.
Yeah,
it's
Gabriel, that's honestly the best way to describe it. Gabriel moves so bad.
It's so bad, but
I hate everything about the way that he moves. I hate the hands. I hate the arms going back. I hate the face. Could we talk about the face for a second?
Can I just say the way he, like, has to drop down that fire escape?
Ugh. It's so disgusting. I also love him, though, and he is my scary little son.
Oh, yeah. There is a shot that I noticed, because this movie is so rewatchable. Like,
I can't wait to watch this again.
Like, rewatching it, knowing the twist, is so good, because there's this one shot that really, like, got me, where Madison is standing in her bedroom near the place in the wall where Derek, like, her husband Derek, slammed her head against the wall. Mm-hmm. And the way the light falls, her shadow is on the wall, and it, like, it's Gabriel. It's right there in front of everyone. Like, the shadow looked exact, because it's Gabriel, because it's her body. And, like, her head is, like, right where the shadow's head is right where the break in the wall is. It's so good. James Wan, I kiss your feet, sir.
There is a point in my notes when they become all caps.
G. Taylor, I wonder when it was.
I'm writing my notes normally, and then, like, right, like, the last 30% of my notes are all in all caps.
Yeah, I kind of have the same deal where it just becomes me going, here we go, and feral, 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 feral in all caps.
I one of my notes just says hooting and hollering right now.
Oh, God. Can we talk about the attic?
Jemmy, I would love to talk about the attic.
I...
The reveal that was an attic...
Oh, it's
fucked
so...
with me so bad. When that woman fucking fell through the ceiling, I shouted. I was like, I think I literally out loud said, no fucking way.
I love the various misdirects that they use to keep you from realizing that this is the attic, because there's that big fan on the wall.
Yes.
And I think that plays such a key role in making us think this has to be, like, some other place. And there's also another point that I picked up on where it was, like, a scene transition. There was, you know, the main cast of characters, like, talking in the living room. And then there was, like, a stock footage, like, of Seattle montage, I guess. Not a montage, but, you know, they just showed, like, stock footage of Seattle to make you think. And then they showed the attic. So... it's, you know, fucking with people's heads, being like, hey, nope, we're definitely somewhere else now. And it was also right before the reveal. Mm-hmm. So, oh, so good. So good, James.
Yeah, I was so not expecting. Speaking of the sets in this movie, I literally wrote down that I was so obsessed with this Azkaban-ass mental hospital.
I'm obsessed with the mental hospital. I'm obsessed with... the police precinct. Both of those sets, I don't know who it was that I was talking to, but, like, I know the Batman just came out, but I now really want to see James Wan do Batman.
I completely agree. That mental hospital had such big Arkham Asylum energy.
It did. And it's so good. Like, the architecture in this movie, the sets are all so good.
And again, it's so giallo. Like,
so giallo.
I said this, I mean, it was my fucking intro, but, like, this random suburban house, which inexplicably has a massive stained glass window in it.
Yeah, like, truly huge, too. It's not, like, one of those little accent stained glass windows. No, it's, like, right behind the stairs, and it's huge.
It's massive. No house would ever have this. It's amazing.
Unless you live in Giallo Land.
Unless you live in Giallo Land. It is so cool. She walked in front of that stained glass and, like, I immediately out loud went, Suspiria.
I have a note that I'm looking at right now that just says Suspiria lighting in all caps.
Like, James.
James.
I think I wrote the note, this is so stupid, I love it, like, 5 times.
That's the vibe of this movie. Like, it's so dumb.
It is so stupid.
This movie has no brain cells, but it's so fucking good.
This movie does the thing that I love when, like, a movie has no brain cells, but is also, like, we're grounding ourselves in serious science.
Right! Oh my god. And again, that also feels really giallo. Mm-hmm. I made a note during the fucking past life regression scene. There's, like, this is the most fucking giallo plot point you can put into one of these movies.
Oh, completely. Like, I also loved the the repressed memories stuff. Again, like, yes. Science, which is probably not, it's not, probably not a thing.
It's not a thing.
Repressed memories are, like, very controversial. I always think it's really funny when movies treat them like they're, like, a completely accepted sound scientific fact.
Right.
They're like, ah, yes, those memories that you repressed, and it's like, well, but did you, though?
Do you know what I realized on a second watching? I think I probably thought about this in the first time I watched it, too.
I would love to know.
There is so much Saw in this movie.
Mm. I wrote, like, 5 times, like, things about Saw. One of the things that I thought was so... One of the things that I thought was so Saw about this movie was the talking through the electronics thing.
Yes. Yes.
That's so Jake John Saw of him.
Oh, it is Peepaw energy.
That's my fucking grandfather, Jake John Saw.
Another thing that I noted as being particularly Saw was the scene where Serena, the mother, wakes up in the attic for the first time. It's just the reverse bear trap.
Yep.
It's just the reverse bear trap scene. Like, you get that close up of her face waking as she wakes up, and then you, like, zoom out quick to see where she is. Like, it's just the reverse bear trap scene again.
I feel like they do the same shot in, like once in every Saw movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, person wakes up in a Saw trap, it's close up on their eyes, and then it's like, boo, 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 like, shaky zoom out.
Yep. It's like, it's the opening of every Saw movie ever.
Yes, exactly. And they did it here, and it rules.
It's so good. I was like, James, I see you, I see what you're doing.
The editing in the opening credits, which, like, having an extended opening credits sequence, like a TV show, is certainly a choice.
It's so good. We need to have those more, I think.
I agree, because I loved it. I loved the weird... It very much reminded me of... I mean, I've really only seen the first few seasons of American Horror Story, but, like, especially the opening of season 1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Just, like, here are just a bunch of weird, gross things.
Yeah, I also noted that down as being very Saw. Because, you know, you have those montage sequences in Saw when... It'll show, like, newspaper clippings and shit. And it's just the same thing, except with, like, Emily's hospital files and scenes of them. I mean, you don't know what it is at first, but the scenes of them cutting out Gabriel. Can we talk about the opening of this movie, actually?
The opening of this movie was when I knew it was going to be insane on purpose and that the dialogue was going to be terrible on purpose, because I heard 3 words out of that doctor woman's mouth and I was immediately like, oh, okay, I see, James. I see
what we're doing here. I love the misdirect of using the, like, panda socks as they're dragging Emily and, by extension, Gabriel down the hall. Because you think that they're dragging Gabriel, a separate child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we see, like, a glimpse of him through those plastic curtains. And we don't know. We don't know that he's actually on the fucking back of his sister's head.
I think I wrote, like, oh, so Gabriel is, like, a worm creature.
Well?
Nope.
Well?
Gabriel's so gross.
He's disgusting.
I love him.
It's a horrible, horrible boy.
Also, this is... Can I just say? This is literally the plot of Basket Case.
I've never seen Basket Case.
So, the plot of Basket Case is essentially that... I mean, spoiler alert for a movie that came out in the 80s. But, like, Belial, the basket case in question, is... the, like, deformed conjoined twin to our main character and was removed by some doctors when they were children and is now his own little separate being who, like, gets up and goes and kills people. He is hunting down the doctors one by one to kill them.
So what I'm getting here is that James Wan watched Basket Case, watched Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, did every drug known to man.
Yes.
And was like, I'm going to write a movie. Guys, I just got a great fucking idea for a movie.
Like, I got, like, halfway through this movie, and I was like, oh my god, James Wan is just doing Basket Case. Basket Case, by the way, great movie. I need to watch that again.
I should watch it. Anyway, I hope to god, because the thing about James Wan and his movies is that he tends to usher in a lot of new eras of horror. Like, he did the whole torture porn thing with Saw, and then he did the whole supernatural thing with Insidious and The Conjuring. Please, God, let this usher in an era of horror where filmmakers just do the most insane shit they can think of.
I want 500 movies just like this.
I want so many just like this. I don't care if they're, like, shitty Tubi movies or whatever. I want so many Malignants in the world.
I want every movie to be a Malignant.
I love that James Wan got that, like, big Aquaman DC money and was like, okay, cool. You guys have basically given me free reign now. I'm gonna make the most insane thing I possibly can. He's so valid for that.
He's so valid and so sexy for this. This movie is so good.
It's so much.
This capital is the perfect M. movie, I think.
It is. It's the perfect movie, besides a few iffy themes, but, you know.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I hesitate to say that this is a perfect movie. This is as close to perfect as James Wan has ever gotten, I think.
I know
that you love the Conjuring movies with all of your heart. I like this better than the Conjuring.
I can't in good conscience say that because, as I've mentioned multiple times on this podcast before, The Conjuring 2 is the reason that I got into horror and is, like, my movie that I am bonded at the soul to. So I can't say that, but I agree that this is fucking insane and I love it.
I understand that you have your soul bond with The Conjuring 2. I respect it and I love you for it. However, this is so my shit.
It really is.
This is so my shit.
I was nervous when you were watching this for the first time, because I was like, oh no, like, have I hyped up the twist too much?
No.
I couldn't possibly.
Also, Gabriel said ACAB.
Gabriel did say ACAB. I actually have that as one of my notes.
It's very important that we establish this. I love when he massacred the entire Seattle Police Department.
He was valid and correct for that.
That pan over to just all of the dead cops behind him.
Oh my god.
Oh, it was the best. Oh, it was amazing.
That scene is so good. It's like a video game and it's incredible. It's incredible. This movie rules.
This is, I'm just going to keep saying it again and again. This is the best movie. I just love it. I at first was starting to think, like, oh, like, this is like an alternate personality situation.
Yeah, I think I also thought that, because I was like watching this movie because I knew there was a crazy twist, because Jason already told me there was a fucking insane twist and he was like, you're never going to guess what it is. And I was like, fine, I'm going to watch this movie, capital W, and I'm going to guess the twist, and I'm going to do it, and I didn't.
Nope, I didn't either. I kept trying to guess it, and I was like, oh, so it's like a psycho thing. No, mm-hmm. It wasn't. But then, but I couldn't square that in my mind with the worm creature that I had seen in the opening.
Right, yeah, that's like, it's a, I don't know what I was fucking
saying. Then I thought to myself, well, she can't be the villain, she has an iPhone.
Oh my god.
Knives Out fans know. I think that Annabelle Wallace deserves an Oscar.
Annabelle Wallace has redeemed herself from being in the first Annabelle.
I have never seen another movie with Annabelle Wallace in it. I think I'd heard the name before. She's probably been in stuff I've seen before. I don't know. She is so good in this movie. And she looks like Isabella Gianni.
Everyone in this movie is fully aware of what this movie is and has committed 100% to
it. Yeah, there is not a single person in this movie who's here for a check.
No one's here for a check. No one is, like, winking at the camera like, haha, we're doing Jallo. Is this shitty? Like, no, they are all in it. And it's so good.
They are capital P performing.
It's so... And that just adds to, like, the whole vibe of this movie. Because I feel like if there had been even just one performance where someone was like, you know, fucking Joss Whedon winking at the camera like, haha, isn't this silly? It would have just completely, like, fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
But they are all in it.
Yep. And they're completely committed, and it's amazing.
It's so good. It's so good. James, thank you for this. Thank you for this gift, James.
Genuinely, but on fucking God, I almost just called her Isabella Gianni because she looks like her. Annabelle Wallace needs, like she needs to be added to the pantheon of, like, horror, insane horror women. Like, up there with, like, Lupita Nyong'o and Us and Grace Ready or Not and, like,
all Toni of Collette these, like, and Toni Collette and Hereditary, yeah.
All these wonderful female modern horror performances. Annabelle Wallace in Malignant deserves to be on that fucking list. She does.
Put Madison on the list of insane feral horror women.
I think I literally screamed, girl boss, when she said, did you forget we share the same brain?
Gaslight, gatekeep, girl Gaslight, boss. Gaslight,
gatekeep, fucking girl boss. She's the best. I love her.
Oh, so good. She gets his ass so hard in this movie.
Can I just say, thank you, James, for leaving this open for a sequel.
Thank you, James. My last note is just, sequel when? James. Malignant 2, when is it happening?
When are we getting Malignant 2? I know this movie just came out last year, but I want Malignant 2 right now.
You were putting out Saw movie. Oh, I mean, he technically wasn't putting out Saw movies.
I was going to say, he wasn't doing those.
But, like, that could have... Oh, can you imagine if Malignant became the new Saw? And there's the new one every Halloween. Oh my god.
Don't dangle this concept over my head because I know it won't happen.
Now that is the Beastly Kingdom universe.
That is... If, listen, I'm, like, barely speaking because I'm that excited about it, like, conceptually. If we lived in a just and fair universe, we would be getting, like, garbage, trash fire, Malignant sequels every single Halloween.
Oh my god. Like, make Malignant the new Saw, the new Paranormal Activity. Like, do this for us, please.
We've done so much for you, James. We've given you when no one else would.
We've given you so much, and it is now our turn to receive.
It's our turn to receive! We deserve Malignant 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, baby.
James, I saw The Conjuring 2 11 times in theaters. I think you should give me a Malignant movie for every time.
For every time you saw The Conjuring 2 in theaters. For every $8 that you put into James Wan's pocket.
In fairness, most of the it was $2 or $3 for most of those viewings because
okay, we went to the whatever
we went to the shitty dollar theater, but, like, you know what I mean. I would have paid $3 is the thing.
I felt like exhilarated after watching this movie. You asked me if we could, like, do something after I watched the movie, and you were like, I don't know if you're gonna be too tired, and I was like, Jemmy, I am fucking invigorated.
Oh god. I didn't think you were gonna be tired. I thought you were just gonna be, like, too brain blown from
watching this. No, if anything, it, like, pumped me up. It, like, made me more powerful as a person.
Oh my god. God, what else can I fucking say about this movie?
So going back to the visual design of this movie, yes. Love the way that the scenery dissolves and melts whenever Madison sees a murder.
Oh my god, it's so cool. It's such a cool effect.
It is phenomenal, and it is so beautiful every single time. I love just, like, the subtle ways that when it first starts out, like, I loved the shot of her seeing Florence's face in the in the reflection of her washing machine.
And the thing is,
at first, that's all you see is just the reflection. And then Gabriel fucking drags this woman out from behind the washing machine, and then the rest of the set kind of dissolves and, like, melts around them. Oh my god, it's so good.
It's so good, and I also think it's, like, just cheesy enough to fit in with the rest of the tone of this movie while also being really cool to look at. Like, it's just weird and kind of lame enough. And it's also incredibly beautiful.
It also feels exactly like the kind of thing that a giallo movie would do if they had CGI.
Exactly. I remember in the lead up to this movie, because, you know, friend of the pod Meeks is also a James Wan fan and a giallo fan. So
we brave and brave and powerful and sexy of her, I must say.
Yes. We would be talking back and forth about this trailer, and I would see her post on Tumblr about, like, seeing the trailers and be like, oh man, I think this is going to be, like, too CGI. I don't know if it's going to, you know, really capture the feeling of a giallo. It does.
It absolutely does.
She had nothing to worry about. I also, the scene in the hotel, too, I think is really cool, where she's trapped in bed, kind of like a sleep paralysis kind of deal. And Gabriel, like, rises out from behind her.
One thing I would like to say.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of the pod. You know. Eyes. I can't do eyes.
Yes.
The poster for this movie had me kind of nervous.
What was the poster for this movie?
The poster for this movie is her in the bed in that scene, but her eye is like so, she's like, her eyes are so wide open and there's like a knife like right above her.
Oh, see, I...
She's like looking up at it and it's like pointed at her. And I was like, oh, someone's going to get stabbed in the eye in this movie and it's not going to be fun for me.
Is it the one where she doesn't have a face, or is that...
No, it's her eyes, like, fully open. It's whatever the cover image is on HBO Max. And I was like, oh, God, someone's gonna get stabbed in the eye in this movie.
Okay, right. I was thinking of the one on Letterboxd, where it's more of a sort of giallo-y kind of looking poster with her face gone.
The science in this movie makes no sense, and it's great. I just love it.
It doesn't need to.
I saw, and this is not one of the reviews that I screenshotted for our little Letterboxd section, but I did see someone at one point on Letterboxd saying, the science in this movie is so batshit that it doesn't stigmatize any real conditions.
Yeah, that's my friend,
and
actually.
I thought it was so funny because it's so true.
That's my friend, actually. That's Anna Babadike, who I love. Hi, Anna. I know you don't listen to this, but it's fine.
I thought that review was so funny because it's so true.
It's so funny.
The science is so bonkers that they could not possibly stigmatize any real condition that exists in reality.
This is what they should do for, like, shit like this when they have to, like, pull the, like, mental illness shit. Like, just make it so...
It's not mental illness! It's a guy on the back of your head!
Okay, but you know what I mean. Like, when they have to do shit like this, like, body horror shit or, like, mental health shit, like, just make it so bonkers yonkers that it could not possibly, like, actually reflect any real condition.
I love his little T-Rex arms.
Oh my god, the little, like, I'm doing the motion. Like, I need you all to know that I was doing the motion when I said that.
Little arms. When I saw, like, Gabriel on the back on the back of her head when, like, in the opening, obviously I didn't know he was on the back of her head, but I was like, oh, he looks like Belial.
Again, I have never seen Basket Case. I cannot.
Friends who have seen Basket Case, confirm or deny that motherfucker looks like Belial, which is what initially made me think of Basket Case. And then the more the movie progressed, I was like, oh, this is just Basket Case, but more insane.
Oh my god, yeah, he does. No, I just looked it up, and yes, he does.
He looks like the arms, specifically the arms.
Yeah, the arms. Although Belial is a little more ripped, it looks like.
Yeah, but because Belial does shit on his own.
Right.
Belial is like, he's cut from...
Self-sufficient.
I forget the main character's name, but he is like fully removed from the main character and like goes out and does things on his own.
Self-sufficient king.
He is a self-sufficient king. We need to do Basket Case on this podcast.
We should.
It's amazing. It's a great movie. James Wan did Basket Case, but crazier.
Somehow more insane.
Basket Case, by the way, not a fucking giallo movie. It's like a grimy 80s Chicago
That's why. That's what separates it from Malignant, because Malignant is full giallo.
Yeah, like this movie is like, what if Basket Case was a giallo?
I know we're like winding down, but I do need to point out Gabriel's weapon.
Oh yeah,
the fucking trophy.
When it panned over to that thing, I went, yes, I literally did the fucking sickos, like, yes, yes.
It's such a giallo weapon. Oh, it's so good. So good.
I literally, like, I became the sickos guy. I, when, like, it panned over to that weapon and I immediately was like, yes, yes.
Oh, I love how, like, in the real world, no one would make a trophy that looked like that.
That's always the best in a movie when, like, there's a random object that is just inexplicably sharp enough to use as a weapon.
No one would ever make a trophy that looks like that, ever. And oh, yet,
it's so good.
In the world of Malignant, that doesn't matter.
No, my other favorite thing that's, like, such, like, a movie's... It's, like, such, like, a horror movie thing that you see. Like, it felt very much like that one, like, Simpsons thing where it's like, hey, Bart, say the line. Like, it, when the cops were like, no sign of forced entry.
Say the line!
That's how you know it's gonna be fucking good in a horror movie, when the cops show up and they're like, no sign of forced entry. And I'm like, you bet there fucking wasn't.
Sure fucking isn't.
There sure fucking wasn't, man.
Because it's a ghost or a demon or your parasitic twin brother who lives on the back of
your head. Yeah, I was going to say, or your brain tumor brother.
Okay.
When the title clicked for me.
Oh my god, yeah.
The best.
Oh. God, that whole just like bass drop of a twist. Oh.
It was so good. This movie is everything to me.
This movie is everything. Everything.
On a more serious note, though, I would like to say Sydney and Madison's relationship is so good.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I think it's really good, too. Like, I enjoy the themes of chosen or found family in this movie, because a lot of... Madison says very early on in the film, like, the reason she wants to have a baby is because she wants to know what having that blood connection with someone would be like. And unfortunately, she gets her wish in the worst way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it contrasts nicely with Gabriel, who has the same desire, but in a more possessive sort of way. A more malignant sort of way, if you will.
Oh my god, I hate you.
I know, I hate me too.
The bit where Madison says he tried to kill you because he didn't want someone to replace him. Because he knew that when you were born, I wouldn't need him anymore. That was such a good line.
Oh, it's so good.
And it's so, I loved the affirmation of their sisterhood at the ending of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, after such a bonkers, insane little movie, I loved that it was still so James Wan, in that, like, at the end of the day, James Wan is, like, an unexpectedly wholesome horror filmmaker, always.
Yep.
And, like, even in this, his most fucking weird-ass, bonkers, like, insane little movie, the villain is still defeated by the affirmation of sisterhood between two women who love each other, and... their family bond is what is able to defeat this thing, and the acknowledgement that even though he and not Sydney is the one who is blood related to Madison, that he is a monster and Sydney is her sister.
Exactly.
It's just so unexpectedly sweet and very beautiful, and it grounds this movie in a way that it grounds this movie in a way that it really needs after how crazy the ending is.
Right, yeah, the ending is so fucking bonkers yonkers off the wall, and having the last beat of it be bringing it down to earth again.
Yeah, because, like, I've seen a lot of horror movies in which they become so crazy that you cease to see it as the story of people and more just as, like, gore on the screen.
Do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Brain Dead.
Huh.
In that it the end, the climax of Brain Dead is so fucking insane. But again, it has that moment at the end where the two leads are like, you know, they walk off hand in hand and they're still in love and it's very wholesome, despite the fact that we just watched the goriest shit we've ever seen. Like, it's a similar beat for the end of Malignant.
Yeah, I think that that's what separates movies like Brain Dead and Malignant from something like a Waxwork, I would even go so far as to say, where, like, the ending of Waxwork, or, like, something like Demons, maybe?
Yeah.
Is, like, both of those movies, I love them, but they're so, the endings of those movies are so crazy that, like I said, you cease to view the characters on screen as people, and more just as vehicles for gore effects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's fun to watch gore on the big screen. I love horror movies for this exact reason. Like, Waxwork is great. Demons is great if you want, like, a fun, silly time. But something about a horror movie that is able to go to that insane, crazy place and still bring you back and make you give a shit about the characters and remind you in its final moments, like, this is still happening to people with lives, who love each other and who have feelings. It's so powerful. And I think that, you know, we've spent a lot of this podcast talking about how this movie can be, like, kind of bad on purpose. But at the end of the day, James Wan is still an incredibly talented filmmaker.
Yeah, and I think a lot, like, all of his movies, like you said, I know a lot of people deride James Wan for being like, oh, so many jump scares. It's just this, you know, it's just mainstream horror crap. It's like, yeah, but there's always such a human element to James Wan's horror movies. I'm not even just thinking about The Conjuring, although obviously, like, The Conjuring is a prime example, but I'm thinking of Insidious. I'm thinking of even Saw to a certain extent. Like, it's as crazy as Saw especially gets, like, the characters still feel real, and you still care about them, and you want to see them come out the other end okay, and that it's just very good. James Wan is so talented.
Like, I always think about, I think about Insidious, too, in that, like, that movie gets pretty weird.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still so human.
Yeah, a lot of the criticism for Insidious back in the day was like, oh my god, the third act gets so weird, which is funny to compare it to Malignant.
Yeah.
Where basically the same thing happens, but it's we're in a climate of horror where that is more accepted. Like, I remember when Insidious came out and everyone kind of thought that the last third of Insidious was too weird, too crazy. And comparing that to the response from Malignant is very interesting to me. But again, like, I fucking lost my train of thought. God damn it.
I mean, I think we said all that we needed to say. I mean, unless you have anything else to follow this up with.
Go watch Malignant.
I think that us ending our podcast on the same sort of human level that this movie does is important to why I really, really enjoyed this movie. Because I think if it had just been a Waxwork or a Demons, where it was just like, oh, this was crazy, I would have given it like 3 or 4 stars.
Right.
What but James Wan is just being like actually a very good movie for me is that human element, which puts it more in the category of a Brain Dead for me.
Agreed.
Because I am such a sap, and I I love love.
I'm such a sap, Taylor says, To me.
Yeah, well.
To me.
That's why we, I think, work as well as we do as a team, is because we're both huge saps, so.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's why we're, you can cut this out, but it's why we're good RP partners.
Exactly. Okay. You want to read some Letterboxd reviews?
Taylor, I would love to read some Letterboxd reviews.
Yeah. So our first review on this segment of our podcast that I love to call Live Laugh Letterboxd is from Letterboxd user Patrick, who says, this movie opens up with a shot of a huge, terrifying hospital on a cliff surrounded by lots of fog. So 2 seconds in, you know it's going to rip.
It's already 4 stars.
Yep. Like, he actually gave it 4 stars.
Oh, hell yeah, King.
Muriel says, need a hit of whatever James Wan is smoking. And she didn't give it a star rating, but did put a little heart on it. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, did she have the heart? This feels like one of those movies that would transcend a rating for some people.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Lucy, notorious Letterboxd reviewer Lucy.
We all know Lucy.
Notorious Letterboxd reviewer Lucy says, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. If you know, you know. And if you don't know, then I honestly feel bad for you. 3 stars.
Correct. Again, it's camp. You have to understand that going in. This movie is camp. It's high camp.
Jay has possibly one of my favorite Letterboxd reviews of all time, which is, and they were womb mates. Womb, like...
I know, Taylor, I know.
Yep. Oh my god.
I hate it. I hate it.
They were womb mates, though, is the thing.
They were womb mates.
Someone whose Letterboxd username is former movie enjoyer, and whose icon is Shiv from Succession, which... I want to be your best friend. says, this happened to my buddy Professor Quirrell.
God damn it.
4 stars.
Oh, what is his first name? I don't remember it. It's been a fucking hot minute since I read Harry Potter, and I'm not going to read Harry Potter again.
Aaron says, if watching schlocky horror movies is such a chore for you guys, then maybe you should stop forcing yourselves to watch them. Anyway, I had a blast. 3.5 stars.
Go off, queen.
You
Go.
Are the only bitch in this house that I fucking respect.
Fuck everybody else. I respect you.
Those are all the Letterboxd reviews that I collected because Letterboxd started to make me angry after a little while, so I had to click out and go there's about my day.
There's just so many people with so many wrong opinions.
Not only do they have wrong opinions, but they feel the need to put them on the internet.
In public. Like, are you not embarrassed?
Are you not ashamed? If I had to see one more review saying, like, I didn't get it, I know.
It's because you're heterosexual. Moving on.
Period. Okay. So star what ratings. Is your star rating for this film?
I believe I gave this movie 4 stars on Letterboxd, and I'm sticking to that, I think. 4 stars. Hell yeah.
I'm going to give it 4.5, as I did on Letterboxd, but I... feel like this movie was also a little bit of a targeted attack on me as a person, so...
This is why James Wan is coming for both of us, because The Conjuring 2 is an attack on me, and Malignant is an attack on you.
Completely true.
So, he got both of us in the end.
Yes. yeah, so that's our episode.
That's our episode.
I hope you guys enjoyed the insane vibes.
Next time. We are watching 1942's Cat People, a nice little werecat movie. Love lesbian werecats. It's gonna be a good. It's gonna be a good episode for me.
I would say that movie is a targeted attack on you.
That movie is a target. No, it's almost a targeted attack. It would be a targeted attack if we actually saw the werecat, but we don't.
It's true
because they're cowards.
Because Jacques Tourneur is a coward.
It's true.
Next time will also be the 1 year anniversary of our podcast.
Yes. Yes, it
so
will.
We're celebrating it with a movie that Jemmy loves. So
yes.
Well, you know what? It's actually a movie that we both love.
It is. It is.
A movie that's very near and dear to both of our hearts.
Until then, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FGFpod. And we would really appreciate it if you would give us those 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Do whatever you need to do on your podcast platform of choice to let us know you enjoyed our little show.
We would really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who has been listening. We appreciate all our listeners. We love you guys. And thank
we
you
do.
For engaging with us on Twitter and talking with us about interesting, fun things and chatting about the episodes. And yeah, we just like to see it.
Thank you for validating us.
Yep. Thank you for validating our silly little dog and pony show that we do for you.
All right. And we will see you next time for Cat People.
Yay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.